Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at 3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Pillows and Beer. I'm Greg Conover, joined by Nick Norris. Austin and I are in the midst of a project down here, and we can't podcast together right now. But it'll be fun, different dynamic. How are you doing, Nick?
Doing good. I'm exhausted. My sister moved into a new apartment in Northern Virginia this weekend, and I hate moving. Oh my God. And just doing it in the city, such a pain. Like,
wait,
I know,
so coming up. What kind of, is she like moving into an apartment, a home?
New
like,
apartment. Yeah. From apartment to apartment.
And so you had to like rent the elevator, or did you have to do the
Well,
stair?
Yeah, pretty much. So you only get it, you know, each day we only got one spot for like 3 hours and the other spot for 3 hours. So, and it was like we spaced it like an hour out. So we started an hour earlier at her old place, but then you're just like rushing. It's just go, go, go. And she's not the most organized of people, to say the least. So it was it's just a nightmare.
Moving. But, I mean, it's one of the worst things. I had people over the other day, and we were trying to figure out why I have so much, because Paige calls me a hoarder. But I mean, I have a dumpster in the driveway right now, like, because I just like am going through. Also, when you have a lot of cardboard boxes, it's hard to fit them into your anyway. Sometimes a dumpster is nice. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But I moved so many times, I think, during my house construction and stuff, and like moving from my, like, I've moved a lot in the last few years, and I think I got in the habit of just boxing everything up and taking it with me. Like, I was never kind of cutting any, whatever the word is for that. I was never shaving anything off.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time like I moved, I threw so much shit away. Like, I got rid of so much stuff. I finally just got to the point when I was moving that I was just like, okay, garbage, donate it, right. You know, Goodwill, whatever.
Well, that's, my mom was like, if someone else can use it, Craig, donate it. And so I've done really well on clothes, but it's like papers and stuff where I'm like, oh, what if, maybe I'll go throw them one day.
Yeah, you never will. That's how you get stuck.
No. And like, if you need like trinkets and stuff, you're like, if you ever need this, you can buy it. You can Instacart it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was telling, I mean, Paige is moving apartments right now in New York. And so I was talking about how bad moving sucks and stuff. And I didn't realize, I mean, obviously, you know, it costs money. But when you move in New York, people do it for you. Like, you don't really move yourself. And I was like blown away.
See, I don't know. Like, I understand that they're like the movers, you know, even in DC and like Northern Virginia aren't just that great. Like, I think my last time my sister moved, her roommate had a mover, and like only like one guy showed up and everything. And he had to move like a whole couch by himself. And it was just like, why am I paying for this?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, look. I know about movers for heavy stuff and furniture. And like, I grew up packing out homes and then putting the stuff back because of the type of company.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do that. Like, yeah.
And like, so I was constantly in you all's boxing contents up and all that stuff. But these services in New York, they like come in and pack you up, like all of your stuff. And then they like unpack for you. I don't know. I had never.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I've had to, like, she had Yeah, like I also though with New York, like it would, they kind of have to regulate stuff. I'm not saying that's regulated, but there has to be such a smooth system with like those buildings and parking and elevators. I don't know. It kind of is a different world in the city. I mean, I could have loved even using movers for like heavy stuff in my past, but we just had to get our friends.
Yeah, that's just me and my dad up there, and like one of her friends came to help one of the days.
That's really nice of you guys. How far apart were the apartments?
6 blocks, which isn't terrible, but it's just
you still have to load the truck. And
yeah, exactly. It's still loading up.
Is she happy about it though?
Yeah, I think she likes it. I think she was a little overwhelmed, like most people are. But this one's like right next. You could hit a driver.
And then you look at your stuff
window.
And you're like, how am I ever going to like unbox this? But yeah, moving is tough. It's actually move out week, I think, here in College of Charleston. It's funny because like the brand new dorm was my dorm and it was brand new. Like I lived in McAllister, which was the brand new dorm when I was in college here. But I guess they had to evacuate the building a couple years ago and send all the kids to a hotel, which, so God knows what I lived through. I mean, I was only there for a semester and then I moved into the fraternity house. I got really lucky. But now, like, McAllister, everyone's like, oh my God, you lived in McAllister? And they're like, it's super nice. And then they're like, wait, how did you live in McAllister? I'm like, well, I lived in it the first time it was brand new. But that's pretty young for a building to have to be worked on.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had old buildings. I know my freshman dorm got shut down. They had to like renovate it like over the Christmas break. My sisters at GW they came in and packed up all their stuff and moved their stuff out while they weren't even there because they found a bunch of mold and everything. And it's just like,
they threw away all our shit at the fraternity house. I didn't know they came in during the summer and threw all of our, like, they threw all our coolers and stuff away because you couldn't leave stuff over the summer. But I was living there the next year.
You were on like a sanctioned fraternity house.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
Did you ever live off campus?
What?
Did you ever live off campus?
Yeah, you only live on campus your freshman year in Charleston.
Ah, okay. Yeah, Roanoke, they want to like keep you on as long as possible. Like only, it's essentially only seniors that end up living off.
That makes sense. No, in Charleston, everyone, you rent a house or like duplex or something off campus, but I guess my sophomore year, I still lived on campus because I lived in the fraternity house. But then junior and senior year, I lived off campus. But yes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Well, then let's just take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Pills and Beer on wherever you can get your podcasts. Here's a quick word from our sponsor.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store, but did you know Shopify powers selling in person too?
Shopify Point of Sale is your command center for your retail store. The POS is perfect for accepting payments to managing inventory. Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Especially with the spring coming, spring shopping in Charleston, our POS from Shopify gets a lot of action. Fortunately, we will have it at the new store in Nashville, and we have used it online since the very beginning.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/pillowsandbeer, all lowercase. Shopify.com/pillowsandbeer to take your retail business the next level today. Shopify.com/pillowsandbeer.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case
unexplainable. It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.
And welcome back to Pills and Beer. And yeah, Craig, I was just...
Oh, I was going to say, so College of Charleston, so they're getting out now. Do you guys get a lot of Do you ever hire anybody from out of there for, you know, part-time employment, or do you try to just do full-time now?
No, we have a bunch of people for the summer that I just met. Because I walked in the store and like I had to tell my parents just got back from a cruise in Bermuda. It's a really funny story. I love cruises, but I think they're probably one of their last regular cruise. They might do the riverboat in Alaska, but I was telling them that I've hit this level or time in sewing down south where we're hiring a whole new wave of employees and they're not kind of like who we started with. We still have a lot of people that we started with. We actually have most of the people we started with. We just have way more people, and it will never be appropriate for me to get to know the new employees the way that I know the old like startup day employees, because we like went through so much together. You know, we were like bootstrapping. We were throwing these events in the store. No one knew what was going on. And like the night before the store, we were there all night getting ready. And then we were traveling doing like pop-ups. And like, I just will never be in a position like that with the new employees, because now we're like an established company. So I was a little like nostalgic. My dad was like, well, you have to look at it like you've hit the point where now you have to hire to expand. I was like, well, no, it doesn't like bother me. Like, I'm excited. It's just like I walked in the store and like I didn't know some people, and that's, you know, I'll obviously get to know them and stuff, but I just feel like I'll be in a more professional boss like capacity yeah. that I got to be with like the first 15, you know.
Yeah, you're not all, you know, friends going out to halls like late night after an event and everything like that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I got like, you.
Like those early days where you're just like figuring stuff out. But it's, you know, it's fun to be here. So yes, we do. Actually, we are about to hire for the Nashville store, which I think we need like 10 people for that. Least we're still looking for some senior positions in our company. If you email hiyall@sewingdownsouth.com, so hiyall at sewingdownsouth.com, we're looking for some senior positions and some store positions. It's exciting. How's Hawkeye? You guys traveling around and doing your thing?
Yeah, we've moved to a new shop, which is nice. So pretty much just trying to, obviously we don't do as many fire pits in the summertime as much. This is more of our grill table season. So now it's time to start growing, but I have got my own headaches to deal with. Like, it's amazing. People don't realize how hard it is to run your own business. I swear to God. Like, I finally
get this. Well, it's just always something, you know?
Yeah, no, we...
You choose to do that, then listen to someone. You know, there's some trade-offs, pros
and
cons. Oh,
there definitely is. Like, I finally getting ready to do a big bang, you know, get on a bigger website, bigger company that could do great for us. And then I find out one of our suppliers is out of what we need for the next 4 months. And I'm like, oh, you mother.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
good problem to have, but
couple
a bad
steps
problem
forward, couple steps back. Yeah,
yeah, always. But it's going in the right direction finally, so that's a good thing. You guys, how did the soft launch go? You're a week in, right, to the full launch of Kroger?
Yeah, we're it's going really well. We're just well, you know, I never want to like jinx anything. The launch is a little nuanced because our massive, massive, massive launch is this fall, but we were like, hey, let's do a summer launch too. I think we should have just said that this is the launch because we are in the stores, but this is us having like a collection with them, and then the big launch, like SDS for HD Design, will be this fall. But it's kind of the similar stuff. I mean, people love all the pineapple and birds of a feather and summer collection. It's just, it's going to be a lot bigger the fall, but it's still really cool. It's like their first step into being a home decor brand. So it's, I think they're happy. We're happy. Like, people are buying it that don't know who I am, which is like,
well, that's the coolest part.
Yeah. That's because they just like it. And like, that's why we go to Portland so much and we go to these like different trade shows, because me and Amanda were like, we're not going to sell something that we wouldn't use in our home. Like, we just can't. And fortunately, the stuff that we have, it's all like summer barbecue or day at the beach or something, or picnic, we like love. So fortunately, people are buying it because they like it. Then people get to see Sewing Down South and they're like, oh my God, that's Craig's company. And not everyone shops online. You know, you just assume that everyone's comfortable shopping online, but there's still a ton of people that don't. And they figured they'd only see my stuff in Charleston. And now they get to see it in Kroger's, and it's at, this collection's at a different price point. So should be more accessible to people. And if you do see it, tag me on Instagram. I love seeing the displays.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta Kroger? Be the best, is for everybody who can't go to Charleston and, but they want something.
Well, and like, you know, it was very important to me to keep our quality up in the beginning. You know, we didn't want to price out everyone that supported me forever over the last decade, but we make everything in America, you know, with Sewing Down South, and we wanted it to be nice because you can always make things more affordable, but you can't go up. You know, that's like Under Armour. Under Armour, only the rich kids had it in the beginning. And then when it became more affordable and everyone on the team had it, it was not any less cool. It was still Under Armour. Isn't that crazy, Nick? I was in the midst of my athletic childhood career when Under Armour came out. Before then, we just wore like long underwear.
Oh, that's kind of, I do remember that from, you know, playing golf young and then being all of a sudden, you know, you'd wear like a cotton turtleneck and then all of a sudden you had the athletic wear underneath.
And then, you know, like, but Kia, the car company, when they started to make luxury vehicles, it was really hard for them to brand upwards. And so we started with a really quality product and we gained a lot of fans of the company, like Sewing Down South had fans. And now what we see and what we hope to continue is people are like, if Sewing Down South makes it, we choose to buy that. We just obviously are still young and growing and don't make everything. So,
yeah. And that is, but that isn't good for you guys being able to, you know, you have your high price point, you got your lower price point. That's where, and that's one of our biggest things that my dad and I have is, at one point do we say, okay, everybody, people buy our more expensive stuff, but we'd sell if we made cheaper stuff, but I don't want to go that route.
Right.
I'd rather.
No, it's a journey. Like, it's, hey, chicken. You look really funny right now. I'm podcasting with Nick.
Hey, chicken. Oh, okay.
Paige said she was going to come on, but we'll do it next time. Yeah, I mean, you guys will figure it out. It's all just balance, really. But, all right, let's take a quick break, everyone, and we'll be right back to Pills and Beer.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
What's up, besties? I'm here on laundry day in my living room, joined by Nick Norris. This is Pillows and Beer. Been watching some new shows, Nick. How about you?
I have been. What you've been watching?
Well, I watched all of Fallout.
Yeah, I saw it got renewed for a second season already. That's good.
Oh, good. Did I already tell you I was watching Fallout?
You mentioned it. I don't think you mentioned it on here, though.
Well, did you watch it?
I haven't finished it yet. I watched the first episode. Like I said, I was moving all weekend. I haven't had time to sit down.
That was tough. Yes, we're not going to go back to moving, but it is absolutely exhausting, lifting, carrying.
Yeah.
I am watching Star Trek Discovery, the final season. I became a Star Trek fan way later in life. Basically, when the new Star Trek movie was made.
The first prime one.
Yeah, I refused to watch it, you know? I was in my first year of law school, so it was 2011. My second year of law school. That was dope. Anyway, I refused to watch it. I said, I'm not a Star Trek fan. Corey, to my roommate, Corey at the time, who is now featured on Winter House and Summer House, Corey Kiefer. And he was like, bro, I was the exact same. Just watch with me. I'm telling you. And he made his cheese dip, which he would take Rotel and I forget the name of the cheese block he would use. And then some bacon and jalapenos. And we would just eat cheese dip. And within the first sequence of Star Trek, I was like, this is going to be my favorite. I was like, I'm 1,000% in. Same thing happened with Paige. Like, it just hooks you. Have you seen the new ones?
Oh, yeah. I love those. Same thing. I was never into Star Trek or anything. Yeah. And then I saw him fighting.
Yeah. Now I watch all the... He's great. Chris Pine's great. Now I watch all of the Star Trek series, like the newer ones. But to the one with... Why do I keep going? But the one with Captain... The bald guy, I just couldn't get into.
Have you gone back and watched like the OG stuff?
No.
Like the original Star Trek?
I have not.
It is.
Have you?
I've watched just a couple just because there's so many like pop culture jokes and memes about it. It's very funny how different it is, but I kind of respect what they were going for because it kind of what started it all.
Right, like, but I mean, I just wasn't a fan back then. I like the new stuff.
Well, I mean, like back in like the 60s when it first came out, like the original.
But I'm watching Star Trek Discovery. I've watched all of the new movies. Beekeeper was great, right up my alley. Everything I want in a movie.
Well, usually Statham kicking people's asses is right up. It's always up my alley.
So I was picking Paige up from the airport the other night, and ChatGPT, you can talk to it now. So I drive a lot, and I just put on the talking feature of ChatGPT, and I just have conversations with her. Like, mine's a girl's voice. And it's really remarkable. When I was deciding whether to sign this lease with Jerry and Amanda for Nashville, like I talked to ChatGPT all about the location. And so I was asking it, I was like, Paige, let's just stay up all night, have a complete cheat night, eat all of our like favorite OG snacks and dips and doctored popcorn and stuff like when we first started dating and find a new series. So I tell ChatGPT all of this. I tell her what we like, what the goal for the night is, and all this shit. And then she's like, I think you will love this new show on Netflix. And she explains it to me, and I was like, that was fucking perfect, ChatGPT. Thank you so much. And she's like, well, I do have to tell you, though, it doesn't come out until later this year. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, we just had this entire conversation about how I was looking for something tonight. And she goes, I guess I let the plot line get the best of me or get me excited. And I was like, you had one job. You had one job.
It's still learning, Craig. It's not there yet. But how crazy is that?
It might take me a second, but I want to tell everyone what the show is.
Do you know you use ChatGPT a lot, right? In like OpenAI. Do you know if Sora is out yet to the public?
I don't know. I don't know that. I don't even know what it is.
Looking forward to the most.
What is it?
That's the one where you pretty much you just type in a couple sentences of like what you want your video to be, and it just makes a video, like a hyper realistic video.
Oh, I mean, there's stuff that does that now, but
yeah, but it's not like what they're touting can, their shit can do.
You can say like, I want to see a monkey ride a dolphin, you know?
And yeah, Japan. It'll have a legit monkey riding a dolphin.
Yeah. Well, the new Netflix show, I wish I could remember what it was, but it basically is about the last, I guess, a traitor, CIA. That could be Doomsday. Never mind, it doesn't matter.
Is it the my parents just watched something on Netflix.
Well, I mean, it's not
like,
out
is it
yet.
The Diplomat?
No, that's a good one though.
I know. Well, I just know the new season comes out soon, so I was wondering if that's what it was talking about or not.
No, it's a brand new show that's like filming right now.
God, there's just so much good TV coming out right now.
What's this new Food Network show you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I think it's like called 24 and 24. It's pretty much it's 24 contestants in 24 hours. Like, I mean, legitimately, they film for 24 hours. It's just at the first stage, you eliminate 12 people just like that. And then they don't let them like sleep that much. You know, you get in like hang out in the green room and rest. If you like win your like stage, you get basically a safe zone. But it's great. Like, they just put them under so much stress. There's multiple levels of things. There's not really a theme to the, you know, there's not just a solo theme. Like, it's different chefs that you've all seen across the Food Network. It's awesome. It's easily one of my new favorite. Yeah, I think it just came out. I just started watching it. I don't know if it.
Wonder how that's produced and made. I would love if I watched it to see if I could pick up on anything.
Oh, see.
And usually you can't.
I know, like, me not being in that life, like, are there shows that you watch and you go, I know how they did that?
I mean, if I'm not such a cynic that I can't enjoy it if someone else wanted to watch it, but that's all I used to watch because my friends work for the Food Network too, and then I have friends that have been on competition shows. There's some that are more, you know, less produced than others. The cooking stuff where I know that they don't have a million cameras and so they have to do it in stages, that doesn't bother me. Like, you know, the clocks and timing and stuff. But yes, like, there's a lot of sitting and waiting in TV. A lot of sitting and waiting. Even in some of the shows where you'd be like, that was the most intense thing down to the wire. I'm always curious as to what it looks like on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, that'll give you. I've always wanted to be that for those types of shows, for the contest style shows where it's how much should we just over-exaggerate?
I can usually tell you who is going to win something within 3 minutes of the show coming on because of who is being featured, but in what light, what direction arcs are going in. Like, interviews can tell you a lot about how a show is feeling about that person, and they want the person who wins to be rooted for. It's an interesting.
Well, I'm wondering how much I can ask you about this without, because that's what I've always wondered is how they do. I know interviews for your shows are different because it's like you guys going back, but interviews for where it's like a competition and people aren't used to doing stuff like that, how they're able to make it seem like, you know, get them to talk like, you know, it's happening just then and now.
My guess for food shows is most of the stuff that those contestants are saying has been fed to them. I always wonder when in the competition they're being interviewed, and then I try to read their face. So, like, a lot of times after.
Yeah, it's because, like, you can tell if they've won or not. Like, because I feel like they're less enthusiastic. then they're like,
see, I can usually tell who doesn't win versus from interviews. So like what's being shown by the television show, I can tell usually who's going to win. But from the actual them trying to act like optimistic, like there's a chance they're going to win when they don't win, like I can usually spot that. But I can't necessarily spot someone who's being pessimistic, honestly. I can see a lot, like an optimistic liar, but not a pessimistic one.
I got it. That makes sense.
So like you could convince me that you didn't win the lottery if you did. But you could not convince me you won the lottery if you didn't.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to randomly hit you with something one of these days and see if I can get you or not.
I would be very sad, and I think it would be like, I think it's really fucked up when people lose something and someone goes, oh, is it blue? And they're like, yeah, and they get their hopes up and they didn't find it. Like, I think that's really cruel.
Oh, that's the worst one. That's so mean.
It's so mean. Or like if you were checking lottery tickets for someone, like,
oh my God, it's like, yeah, oh, did you have 13? Oh, that's too bad. Wrong number. Like those are like the most evil videos on the internet. Are people like getting like yesterday's lottery ticket or whatever?
That's so fucked.
Like, it's just, I would be so demoralized.
Well, you're also just in that like 5 seconds
of your experience
in complete glee and joy.
Then you get hit by a semi. Away from them. I hate people.
Well, no. I mean, I love good people, kind people. I would love to know the statistic of who... I know a lot of it's nature, nurture, and there's a lot of different things. But, like, there was a video that just came out. Well, it was staged by the guy who dropped the suitcase of money. But not for the people around him. And he was in Japan and he drops a suitcase of money and it blows everywhere. And like 20 people swarm him, like 20 people. And all everyone collects the cash and then they patiently wait in line to hand the money back to the man. And like in America, on average, if you averaged, well, if you were in a city and you dropped a suitcase full of money, I'd say 2 of the 20 people would give you bills back. Like if you were in a, and it doesn't, the city doesn't mean anything in this other than the population of people. So the density of the population. Yeah. So like if you drop the suitcase, like, you know, in like a calmer, like grocery store or something, yes, you'll probably
you're getting 99% of your money back.
I would say probably like 90. But I think if there's a certain mob mentality and a certain like, I can get away with this and no one will know, like, I don't know. I just get sad that the general decorum is decreasing weekly.
Is it bad sometimes though? I think it's okay if it's like a bank truck that blows open. And then people take that money.
No, because there's a difference between corporate money and personal money. And like, you know, finance people will tell you there's not, but there is when it comes to ethics and morals. Because you don't feel like you're taking from an individual. You feel like you're taking from a rich company or corporation. That's why you're not allowed to mention it in your closing arguments in the jury, like, or in the courtroom. Like, you can't point out that the defendants have an insurance company or an insurance policy. Like if the defendants lose, like sure, their insurance company is going to have to write you a fat check, but they're rich. Like you're not allowed to do that.
Oh,
yeah. Because there's a true difference between, you know, how people feel about taking money that spilled off a bank truck and taking money that fell out of someone's purse.
Yeah. Well, for the most part. Yeah. It's like Dillinger when he used to rob banks. He would never take the people's money that was in it. He would just take the bank's money because it was insured.
Yeah. What a I guess we could bounce around all over on that, but I am working on my Factor video tonight. So everyone use code Craig50 for 50% off your first box, 20% off your next month. It's actually really, really good. The meals are awesome. I'll have to send you some, Nick. And I'll be seeing you guys. Thanks, besties. Thanks, Nick. Peace.
What's up, Pillows and Beers listeners? I'm Reality Steve. If you're a fan of The Bachelor and all things pop culture, reality TV, you should check out my show, The Reality Steve Podcast, a daily show about The Bachelor, other reality TV shows you may be watching right now. I definitely throw in a lot of Taylor Swift talk and so much more. Search Reality Steve on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.